You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Roto Experts in the Morning is on now.
Hour number three of the Roto Experts here, Fantasy Sports Radio Network. King, Scott Angle, Corey Parson, he is the Fantasy Executive.
Yo.
Tony Cincata as well, of course, breaking it down for you.
What's up?
Super Bowl 51 last night. Patriots defeated Atlanta 34-28. They are the five-time. I said that five times. Super Bowl champions. Brady and Belichick. We talked a lot about if Brady is the GOAT. Tony, no question, Belichick's the GOAT, right?
Oh, there's no doubt about it. I mean, we discussed that earlier, that where, you know, if you had to pick one, I think most of the success would go to the coach in this one. He's done the job of putting this thing together and keeping the team of non-superstars. Remember, they play without Rob Gronkowski and arguably maybe it'd be traded their best linebacker in the middle of the season.
Yeah, but God, I guess they didn't need Jamie Collins, clearly. I guess they didn't need... Who is the dude they traded? Chandler Jones. They didn't need Chandler Jones. Right? Clearly didn't need Gronk. They didn't need anybody. They don't need anybody. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, hey, this crazy. They got the machine rolling, so congratulations to the New England Patriots and their fans on their Super Bowl championship. Great comeback, great game. Definitely, they left him no doubt who the best team in the NFL was in 2017. Atlanta Falcons were close. They were right there. They were on the brink of what it would have been a unbelievable championship. But it goes right back to Tom Brady and Bill Belichick.
And as we said last week, right, the Falcons didn't come out scared or anything like that. Like, they didn't look scared in any way.
They look ready to play.
They look ready to go. They look ready to go. Oh, we meant to say this. This is a great quote by Martellus Bennett last night, as you would expect, right? The unicorn.
Yeah.
Give you a great quote. You know, Martellus, how you feel? Just, you know, I feel great. I'm a Super Bowl champion and I'm a free agent. Everybody knows Super Bowl champions get overpaid, baby.
Patriots going to have to look for another insurance policy to Gronk. Well, Tony thinks Gronk's going to be gone. Maybe they'll have to look for a new tight end totally or make sure Bennett comes back.
Well, a lot of the mock drafts have them drafting a rookie tight end.
OJ, what, they have OJ Howard going there?
No, someone else. OJ's going a little bit earlier in
the
draft.
Gotcha. Last night, Martellus Bennett, 5 for 62. You said it before. I do expect Malcolm Mitchell to be a popular target next year in fantasy drafts.
Yeah,
I think Malcolm
his
Mitchell,
value will rise, yeah.
I think people expect a nice little jump here from Mitchell. Chris Hogan last night at 4 for 57 had a patented drop. And your boy Chris Hogan.
He had a big catch in overtime, too, though.
Yes, he did. Yeah. Your boy Chris Hogan here, Scotty, Super Bowl champ.
He is. You know, he was a key part of it. He was, big receiver, kind of fits what New England does, you know, good route runner, etc. Just like staying healthy and consistency will continue to be issues for him. That's why, you know, he'll be like a final round pick in fantasy.
Sure, just play with the Patriots, yeah, basically.
Nice,
right?
Bye week filler, you know, but you can never predict. It's never predictable based on the matchup because
right.
The Patriots are so, you know, they vary from game plan to game plan from week to week.
I'll tell you what, on that last drive before overtime, right, the game tying drive. There was they had a major third down still in their own 10, right? Like they were down there, Tone, where they had a big catch come up with. But there was a shot. Like, they had their Falcons had their shots.
Oh, they had plenty of shots. They just didn't put the nail in the coffin,
as
so
they
to
would say.
Scott loves when you go use the nail in the coffin slogan. Mm-hmm. And they were unable to put that in. And a couple times they get down there and they just don't punch it in. And it's crazy when you look at the statistics in this game, the whole number of plays, right? We talked about it excessively. When you can double a team's amount of plays, you wondered why the Atlanta defense was definitely tiring down there.
Sure. Sure. Literally double the amount of plays.
Long.
Looking forward, though, right? Looking past Super Bowl 51, and looking forward to the future, looking forward to next year, looking forward to some of the things we can take out of this game with the players and the people in this game going forward. Kyle Shanahan going to San Francisco. He's going to be the next head coach. And then, Corey, we said it a lot, all of us here on the show, honestly, who the 49ers quarterback is going to be next year. And the rumor comes out that we are all on the nose, folks. Falcons backup quarterback, Matt Schaub.
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
I texted you about that.
Yeah, he did.
Put the look at improved things.
How do you think he's not an improvement?
He knows the system.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He knows the system. They've been together for a while. So, yeah, he'll pack up, take him along with him, and more than likely he'll be the starting quarterback of the – I don't want to say more than likely. There's a good chance he can be the 49ers starting quarterback going into the season.
Why not?
Right now the name Kyle Shanahan is like the butt of a joke.
Sure.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But the bottom line is the guy can coach offense.
Yeah.
You feel what I mean? Mm-hmm. So – you look at it that way, so that it should be an improvement, but we want to see it first. It'll be his first year implementing the system.
Tell you what, we all said this right. Alex Mack last night, he played with a broken leg, this guy.
Brave.
He should play with a broken freaking leg. That was crazy.
This is the craziest about football players, right?
Yeah.
You take for granted some of the things these guys do, and this guy goes out there and plays four quarters with a broken leg.
Like, they said he would have been out 8 weeks if it wasn't the Super Bowl. This is a pain. We said it, right? Like, we heard, all right, femur injury. And you didn't hear exactly what was wrong with it.
Till yesterday.
So yesterday.
Yesterday, it was like he has playing with a broken leg.
Yeah, he got a broken leg. You guys are right. We knew it.
X-rays came back this morning.
We had the MRI. It wasn't good. Yeah.
I mean, it was like the Terrell Owens Super Bowl with the New England Patriots, right?
Yes.
People think of all the things you can criticize Terrell Owens for, right? And he's this, he's that. The guy showed up injured in the Super Bowl and put out a display that was unlike anybody else.
Yeah.
Yep. Wasn't his fault they lost.
No, it was not. And how about this, Scotty? Michael Floyd, why is it a Super Bowl ring now?
Yeah, and he was inactive.
He was inactive.
Yeah.
But he's got a ring.
Yep.
Yes.
Was that DUI?
He's got a ring and one of the worst DUIs in history.
Was it worth it?
And a free agent.
Was it worth it?
Worked out good for him.
Did it?
Yeah.
Oh, asking you.
He's got to watch that tape, bro. I would still be a little bit embarrassed. Well, I would be a lot embarrassed.
Okay, so what did Michael Floyd do after that game last night?
Hopefully he went home and went to bed. He had a nice cup of lemonade and he went home and went to bed.
Nice cold cup of lemonade.
Yeah.
You can get a cold one. It's cold brew. But you better be...
Hopefully he had a designated driver if he was, you know, out and about. That's definitely what...
He's probably not allowed. He's probably on probation of some sort. I can't imagine he's allowed to drink right now.
No, oh yeah, he's probably got one of those things on his steering
ankle,
wheel.
On his ankle.
No. On his steering wheel.
Oh, okay.
He might not have went to court yet, though. So
yeah, that's true, too. Yeah.
Because you're innocent until proven guilty in the United States of America.
Yeah. So there you have it. Scott, do you have any... Yeah, tell him.
There was no Gatorade thrown on.
No Gatorade. Because you know what? Because I think there's a review of James White's thing. We weren't positive.
Yeah. Maybe,
Or maybe Belichick said, listen, I don't want to get wet.
Yeah. No, do that.
Yeah, I don't want to get wet. All right, I understand. You don't want to get wet. Sounds good. Fair. It's possible. Julio Jones, Scotty. That catch will go down with Jermaine Kearse's catch.
Yeah. It's one of the
best catches in Super Bowl history will ever remember.
By a losing team, yeah.
One of the best catches in Super Bowl history that no one will ever remember.
I think if the Seahawks would have won, like, Curses might be regarded as like it's just like so wacky. It's just like
it would have went down in Super Bowl lore.
Yeah,
absolutely, no question. Said it's forgotten about, which is crazy.
It's like the Andy Chavez of football,
right? Exactly. Yeah. It's like Chris. Like no one ever remember Chris Matthews. How good of a game that guy had.
Yeah, that's like the Danny Amendola type. Thing.
Sure,
like Chris Matthews showing
that dude should have been the MVP of the game. But, you know, never mind.
Well, he got shut down in the second half, though.
Yeah, but the first
when
half.
When they put Brandon Browner on him.
But the first half was pretty damn good.
He was, but, you know, it's full game. You know, found that out last night.
Yes, we certainly did. Scott, what's your final takeaway of Super Bowl 51?
What's my final takeaway of Super Bowl 51? Tom Brady's the GOAT. That's pretty much it, but I think you got to give a lot of credit to guys like Dont'a Hightower, too, for making key plays. Mm-hmm. I feel like Hightower's just role with that team is underrated.
Okay. Corey.
And Trey Flowers, too, man. Big game.
Absolutely.
Once again, we see the greatness of Tom Brady and Bill Belichick. So there they go right there, the great New England Patriots. They went out there, even with their backs all the way against the wall, they come all the way through and pull out another one. And it's unfortunate because I was looking forward to crying Jordan, Tom Brady, and Bill Belichick memes. Mm-hmm. And this time we don't get to see those.
Yeah, Falcons.
We got LeBron popping out of a Brady uniform.
Yep.
Or you said Brady. Tony!
There's plenty of memes out there for you guys that were put in the second quarter yesterday on Twitter if you want to go and look at them. That was the interesting fact. You know, one of the things that came up, I think there was controversy yesterday in a family thing. What about football squares? It was the first overtime in the Super Bowl history. Who gets paid?
Well, it's always the final game, right? Like, I believe a lot of squares has the rules. Like, it's the fourth quarter or end of game. So it's end of game gets scores.
What if they don't define? Because I actually got someone asking us on Twitter. They have a little controversy in their league.
To me, it's got to be the end of the game. It's a final game. It's a final score. That's what last one.
Well, I think first, second, third, and fourth quarter, if it says that, I would say it's the fourth quarter.
To me, it's at this bowl I've been in, is it slash end of game. Hey, by the way, you know what's the worst quote-unquote advanced statistic ever?
What's that?
Win probability.
Yeah, they had a 96% win probability, yeah. Like 2 minutes left in the third quarter.
96%. But the fact is, we say this all the time when it comes to the advanced statistics, right, compared to scouts. It doesn't account for momentum. It doesn't account for quote-unquote heart or anything like that. It's just numbers-based.
Yep.
It's just numbers-based. All right, final thing for the Super Bowl. We'll move on. Just a couple of baseball headlines here. But the last thing before the Super Bowl, and I wanted to mention it on the show. I did it in my Super Bowl party last night, and I wanted to go around and see if we can get it right. Only 7 celebrities have more Twitter followers than Lady Gaga. Can you name them? A little trivia for you this morning.
Kim Kardashian.
Incorrect.
Beyonce.
Incorrect.
Rihanna.
There's one. One for Scotty. 6 more to go. Only 6 more celebrities have more Twitter followers than Lady Gaga. Mike Florio knows one.
Leonardo DiCaprio.
No, sir. Florio.
Katy Perry.
Katy Perry, number 1. That's correct.
Oh, boy. Taylor Swift.
That's correct. Another one. You're down in 1, Justin 2, 3, Bieber. 4. That is correct, Scotty. There you go. Scotty's just thinking of people I like, I think. He's literally like, all right, well, who does Susper listen to? That's pretty much what you're going with. All right. One, there's 3 left. Mm-hmm. Only one of these people are a musician. The other two are not. In fact, the other two people aren't really actors or musicians. Well, one of them's a musician, but the other two are not. Corey, you have any
Donald guesses? Trump.
Very close, but not correct. Very close, though.
Barack Obama.
There you go. Barack Obama.
Jake Seeley.
Jake Seeley.
We'll just ignore that.
No.
2 more to go. 2 more to go. One is a... I'll just tell you one. You're never going to get this. One is U2.
Really? Wow.
It just says U2 on the list.
Okay.
Let's see here. U2. It's the U2 account. They have 900... This isn't right. 900... What? They don't even have 1 million followers. This is weird. They don't even have
Where'd
1 million
you get
followers.
This list from, dude?
I got it from Darren Revelle. So if it's wrong, blame Revelle. This is crazy. They don't even have 1 million followers. What the? Kardashian's got to have way more than that. You know?
Yeah.
Unless you... Let me see here. Kim Kardashian West has way more followers. She's got 50 million followers. Wow. This list is a joke. I don't know how U2 made the list. Let's ignore U2 because that's a freaking joke, Ravel. Unbelievable.
Oh, boy.
All right, but the last one's real. This last one counts. Can you guess the last one? Is a woman?
Checking every the accuracy.
Yeah, the accuracy is fair. It's right. Wow, Katy Perry is almost 100 million. That's crazy.
That's crazy.
95.7 million. This last person is about 65 million. Kim only has 50. I just don't know why U2 is on the list. I'm very confused by that. Maybe he just likes U2. She is not an actress anymore. Not a musician ever. She is a celebrity, though. And she's very famous.
Paris Hilton.
No, good guess, though.
That's the one I was going to say. That is a good guess.
Nope. And more relevant today than Paris Hilton.
More relevant today than Paris Hilton.
Yeah. She is extremely, extremely famous. Can't believe that. Because I've got enough of my clues yet.
Hmm. It's not Khloe?
No, it's not Kardashian.
It's not a Kardashian. Giselle Bundchen.
It's not Giselle. It's not a model.
Right.
Hmm. Okay. Let's see if I can give you another clue.
Ellen DeGeneres.
There it is! Nice job,
nice
Tony!
Job right there, Ellen DeGeneres.
Nice job. I thought you were going to say Oprah.
She is a big celebrity.
But yeah, Ellen, extremely, extremely popular celebrity.
Oh, yeah.
How many followers?
If I thought of Oprah,
have?
I would have said Oprah instead.
She's got 65 mil.
Wow.
Yeah.
How did. Oof.
Yeah. There you go. Ellen
DeGeneres.
I think
this list is missing some names.
Like who?
Like the Kardashians, right?
So Ellen has more. I looked. I looked.
Well, Kim, huh?
Yeah. Kim's got more than Kim. Kim's got 50. She's got 65. Of course, million.
See,
million.
We're not as
million.
Bad off as we thought we were.
65 million no. followers.
No. We take a break here. We hear our Super Bowl thoughts. Just ask one baseball question here this morning. And it's part of our team series. And I'm going to name four players. The guys at the table will tell me which one they want. It's the Atlanta Braves, because, you know, we got to give some love
Why
to Atlanta.
Not?
Try to give some love to Atlanta here this morning.
Make them feel better.
Make you feel better, because baseball's coming. Yay, you're Atlanta Braves. Yay.
Get off the ledge.
Come back. We'll have you back. Come back. We're talking Braves. Stick around. Roto Experts. Back after this. I thought something was funny that'll tell you off the air, Corey. No. You can't say it on the air. The Atlanta Eyes at some point will turn to the Braves. Probably not for a while. But we'll do it now. Because, you know, we're trying to make people feel better here. You know, we're trying to make people have hope for the future. So that's why we look to the Atlanta Braves. Young up-and-coming team, new stadium, lot to live up to, lot to be happy about. Corey, is anyone going to go to this Braves team now after it's let down?
Excuse me?
Is anyone going to go see the Braves?
They'll get past it.
Okay.
You know what I mean? They'll wipe the city of Atlanta will wipe away the tears.
Not easy.
It's going to be tough. They're going to remember this one for a very long time.
Not easy.
But as you know, it starts to get warmer, spring blossoms, you know what I'm saying? Different events take place. People will everybody, the Falcons, they all return to their hometowns during the offseason. You won't see them around the city and stuff like that. You know, so maybe in about April, May-ish, it'd be kind of like, oh, you know, oh, yeah, remember Super Bowl? Oh, yeah, that was just heartbreaking, but I'm past that now. They're going to need closure from this.
Yeah,
as a city, they're going to need closure
from
this.
When they win a Super Bowl, that's when they'll have closure.
Yeah,
well, could be waiting for a while for that one. Which of these Braves, Tony Zincata, do you want the most? Jaime Garcia, Mike Fultonevich, R.A. Dickey, or Bartolo Colon? They're four of their five starting pitchers.
Yeah, that's a tough group when you look at this one. You know, I'd probably go and take Fultonewicz.
Okay.
This is a kid that his K per nine was 8 last season, right? He pitched 123 innings. He won 9 games for Atlanta. His ERA was 4.31. And everything you read about this kid is they like what he got. And they've done a disservice to him by switching from the rotation to the bullpen, back to the rotation. I think if he's in one spot, he has 95-mile-an-hour fastball. I think this kid has the most talent out of that group. I actually like him the best for fantasy purposes.
Scott Engel.
Yeah, I've been watching Fulton Evans for a few years now. And, you know, he's had some issues here and there, but the K potential has always been there. You know, you look over his career, like 2014 when he was in the Astros system, he was a Triple A. He had an 8.94 Ks per nine, but still, like, you know, you want the control to come down. We saw some of that last year when he had the 2.55 walks per nine. You know, the guy has a really good curveball, and when he can get it over, he can really freeze hitters. I think he's got the potential to eventually be a pretty competent major leaguer here. I'm going to go with some upside for Fulton Evans.
Court.
Yeah, a lot of these guys are, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. If you don't have Teron, maybe this is not the pitching staff, but at some point you're going to get to spots where these guys may be off the waiver wire, whatever the case may be. But I think we got to go faulty on this one. I'm going to stick side with the fellas here. He's average in everything.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? He'll give you an average earned run, an average whip, average strikeout rate.
Right.
So if you can get some improvement from a 25-year-old guy and those numbers can push up to above average, then you like it more. But I'm not really in on any of these guys. But I would go Fulte as the play.
Yeah, they got a great minor league system. You know, there's going to be a lot to watch over the next few years. Let's see if Aaron Blair takes a step forward.
Sure.
You know, I know people look at the Braves as a team that's like hasn't been good the last few years, but they've made a lot of moves. That farm system is bursting with talent.
Let me give you another one. Give you a bonus one since you guys also had the same answer for this one. Who would you rather have? And I'll start with you this time, Scotty. Who would you rather have, Adonis Garcia or Sean Rodriguez? A little bonus Braves pick 'em today.
I like the power potential of Adonis Garcia.
He's an Adonis, you know.
What's that?
He's an Adonis.
If you feel that way, sure. I like the power potential of him. You know, last year in AAA, 80 plate appearances. You know, he had four home runs. He had 14 in 134 major league games. Hit 273 steamer projections. They're calling him to 271 with 10 home runs and 39 RBIs. But I think he can have more power than that. Sean Rodriguez can play all over the diamond, but he might be more of a pure utility man. I wonder if we've seen the best of Garcia power-wise, so I'm going to lean in that direction.
Okay, you're going Garcia power-wise. Corey, we'll go with you next, my friend.
Yeah, this is another tough call right here, Greg, but I think I'm going to... See, the thing was, I want to go with Sean Rodriguez because if he can give you that 260 batting average, that double digit home runs, not real much pop, but he's serviceable. Fantasy owner last season, he kind of set career high marks with the 270 average and the 18 home runs. So we think we give some of those back this year. But my thing is how much playing time is going to be available for him?
That's always the question with Sean Rodriguez, right? Is he going to become an everyday player? Like, how much is Jace Peterson going to see at second base? I don't think we know the answer. Tony, what about you? Where are you with Adonis Garcia and Sean Rodriguez?
I think I'm going to Adonis Garcia because he has the best chance to play every day.
Yep.
That's the only thing. With Rodriguez, what you tend to find out when a guy plays first base, second base, third base, it means he's really not good at anything. And then they just move you all around the diamond to keep your bat in the lineup and playable. And we're talking about a kid that's 31 years old. I mean, we're not talking about a young player.
Right.
So he's had a shot to make his claim, and he hasn't. So I just don't think he can play every day, and I'm worried about at-bats. If I knew he would get me 550 at-bats, I think the power upside would lean me towards Rodriguez, but I can't guarantee the 550 at-bats. I think Garcia has a better chance of playing every day. I go with Garcia.
Yeah, I kind of like Garcia. I think Garcia is going to get the at-bats right. I think he is the third baseman here. Last year, 134 games, he had 14 home runs, right? Like, and I know he never had more than, you know, he had 10 the year before for the Braves, 58 games, now up to 14. Like, does this guy have 20 home run pop to him?
Yeah, I think he might. A lot of times, you know, it's hard to look at the minor league numbers, and sometimes when you see no pop and then you see a guy play better at the major league level than he did at the minor league level, you worry. But the thing you have to keep in the back of your mind, when it's a young player, power develops later, and that a lot of time is the reason that you don't see the minor league. Now, if he was a 27-year-old player and he hit 20 home runs at the major league level and never hit more than 7 at the minor league, then you'd have to worry about it. But I think this kid's all right. I think he's improving.
Okay.
Yeah, I just like to your point, it's like, you know, watching Garcia, he had a few bombs last week. He's definitely got definitely got some natural power.
Yeah, I think so too. And now, remember, he came over from Cuba. He's not a young chicken, as Tony just said, right? He's 31 years old.
He could be 47. We don't know.
Yeah, that's not very nice. Yeah.
But true.
He's 31 years old. He's going to be 32 in April, so he's no spring chicken by any means. But I think that 20 home run pop is fine. I think, listen, is he your starting third baseman? No. Can he be a corner infielder for you?
Yeah.
I think so.
He hit 270 with 17 home runs.
Yeah, I mean, that's right. Last year, he hit 273 with 14 home runs. Let's say he plays 10 more games. I mean, you know, you get a couple more home runs here. 17 home runs, like you said. You know, it's not crazy. He doesn't strike out that much. The batting average only was 308 last year. Like, there are signs that Adonis Rodriguez hitting behind Freddie Freeman, hitting behind Matt Kemp, like, this could be good for him. And he's not there's worse players out there, I guess, than this guy. I guess that's all I'm trying to say.
Well, you know, he's certainly going to get an opportunity with the Braves. You know, they have him penciled in right now as the starting third baseman. You know, and if you look at the splits from last year, 9 of his home runs came after the All-Star break when he hit 293. So he started to come on. He hit 249 before the All-Star break. He had a better second half.
Yeah. So let's see what continue. Again, he's not costing anything in drafts. Nobody that we named is, right? Like, Foldinevich isn't costing anything in draft. None of the rotation guys are. Really, I guess we talked a lot about NCRT previously, Matt Kemp, Freddie Freeman. Dansby Swanson's a name we haven't. Tony, where are we taking Dansby Swanson this year?
Yeah, he's going in. I just did a NFBC draft. He went in the 12th round of that draft. To me, and that's a 15-team league, so you can do the mathematics, folks. So 14th, 15th round for you guys that are playing in 12-team leagues.
13th round in the FSCA draft, by the way.
Yeah, I think he's being overdrafted. I think he has double-digit power, double-digit stolen base possibility, and we saw the 302 that he hit last year in 145 at-bats. But we're talking about a guy that's only had 377 bats at the double-A level. And when he had it at the double-A level, he hit 261. So I'm thinking he's a 250 hitter, but he's got some pop. He's got some stolen bases. I just think it's a lot to expect for a guy with very, very limited minor league play.
Yeah, you know, we talked about, like, okay, it's not like he doesn't spend a ton of time at triple-A, but like Tony said, you know, Rusty Rowell and I talked about Dansby Swanson extensively on our last broadcast. So, you know, listen to that on demand. And, you know, he feels like Swanson's like maybe like a year away from being a true impact fantasy player. They're talking about hitting him second, but I don't know if there's going to be a lot of upside in the numbers initially.
Tony, I guess my question is,
Diamondbacks regret that trade.
I guess my question is, people drafting Swanson 12th, 13th, 14th, 15th round, as you just mentioned. What does he do well?
Jackson Tony.
You want to take it, Corey?
He's toolsy. Especially if he hits second in the order, he's going to hit the categories. You know what I mean? He'll steal your double-digit steal.
Will he?
He can run. He has some speed to his game. He can run.
I mean, he had 9 last year between the two leagues.
Right.
Yeah. He's got some speed to his game. So he'll make 10. Okay. He'll hit you 12 to 15 homers, back close to 300. If he's hitting that number two, he'll score. If he's hitting second in that lineup, he'll score 90 runs. So, and he'll get you some RBIs, too. Maybe not 100, but he'll get you that 70 to 75 range. So, yeah, he's a toolsy kid. But it's got to come together.
I think he gets 10 and 10. The only thing I would speculate on not happening is the batting average. In that limited time that he was in the majors last year, he struck out almost 24% of the time.
Yep.
And his batted balls in play was .383, which is a huge
number. Yeah.
So I think the batting average is the only thing that I would question. I think that he gets double-digit home runs and stolen bases if he's left in the lineup to play every day. Like I said, this is a big, big jump for a kid with very limited minor league. But it was the first pick in a draft. I mean, the guy can play.
Corey, do you want him on your team?
I would put him on my team
in the 12th, 13th, 14th, 15th round.
I always want to get a value on the player. So if I catch him at a value in that 14, 15 range, I'll go for it.
Scotty, is Dansby Swanson somebody you want?
Probably not for where he's going. He probably won't end up on a lot of my rosters.
Tony?
Rosters.
I don't think I would draft him in that round. If he goes, slips a round or two later, absolutely.
All right, I can't, I can't see myself doing that either.
I haven't drafted yet, so I don't know what's available in that round.
Well, in the FSTA draft, which I have right in front of me, around him, which is was the end of the 13th round, right before him went three pitchers I all want more than him. Dallas Keuchel, Danny Salazar, Lance McCullers. I think all three of those guys ahead of him. After him, you had Brian McCann, Mikey Moustakas, Matt Wieters, Julio Urias, Nick Castellanos.
Okay.
Yeah, I guess I can understand.
I look at it like this. Yeah. If I pencil him in for 12, 13 home runs, 12, 13 stolen bases, I can wait 8 more rounds to get Jorge Polanco, who will give me the same numbers.
Your boy, Jorge Polanco.
There you go, right there.
Your boy. All right. Hey, we'll take a break here. We'll come back. Major basketball injury news over the weekend. But is it a bad thing? Well, I mean, it's a bad thing, but like, is it a bad thing for fantasy and for his team? Tony knows what I'm talking about. We'll break it down next for you on the Roto Experts. So, we talk pretty regularly here about the Minnesota Timberwolves and how effective they are when Zach LaVine shoots 9 or less times in the game. When the minutes for Zach LaVine weren't astronomical. Well, I can assure you he's not going to shoot more than 9 times in the game going forward. I can assure you that the minutes are no longer going to be astronomical because Zach LaVine is done. Tore his ACL over the weekend. Now, we heard he was ruled out. And then it came out a little bit later on after that. He tore his ACL. Brutal news, Tony. Zach LaVine.
Yeah, brutal news if you're Zach LaVine on it for sure. I think the positive is going to come in the likes of Ricky Rubio with an increased usage rate. I think Wiggins gets an increased usage rate. And I think that Shabazz Muhammad's the guy you want to, if you're in season leagues, you want to go and get off the waiver wire. He was already grabbed real quick in the league that I was in before this, right as soon as this news came out. So if you're out there, go out and check to make sure Shabazz Muhammad's not on the waiver wire.
What about Pajelka and Brandon Rush?
Yeah, so it looks like Brandon Rush is going to be the guy that starts right now. He was on that was getting the starting minutes whenever exactly he missed the game. Nicholas Belitsa is somebody that you can consider. He only saw 14 minutes in that first game that LaVine missed over the weekend. It is Shabazz Muhammad over Belitsa and over Rush. I totally agree with Tony. Baz Muhammad, probably the guy you want to own. And it was funny because you heard that they were looking to trade Shabazz Muhammad. So we'll see. I think Tony nailed it. Ricky Rubio doesn't take a step up. Wiggins takes a step up because there's just more scoring and opportunities to go around. But you feel bad for Zach LaVine, who's young. You hope he recovers from this, of course.
Yeah, full recovery.
No more dunk contest.
Oh, yeah.
That's going to do it for his dunk contest.
Did they announce the participants for that?
Yeah, they have, actually. And like I don't know if they announced all of them, but the 2017 random, as they're calling it, slam dunk participants are, let me see here. This is just not the right spot. I apologize.
No problem.
I know Derek Jones is in it.
Yeah, we saw that last week.
That was weird.
Yeah.
Derek Jones Jr. doesn't play.
He can dunk though.
Yes. Let me see here. Oh, that was the wrong one also. Does anyone else have it? Slam dunk contest.
You guys got a favorite slam dunk moment?
Ugh, I hate the slam dunk contest.
I don't think it should be the...
It's so boring.
I think the three-point shootout should
yeah,
be...
Yeah, it's awesome!
Should be the main attraction of All-Star
yeah,
Saturday.
Yeah! Three-point contest is a sick. You have all the best players do it.
Yeah. It's awesome. And, of course, you get a chance to see Steph Curry perform. You know what I'm saying?
All right, here you go. Your 2017 slam dunk contest. Aaron Gordon returns.
Okay.
All right, so Aaron Gordon is back. Derek Jones Jr., as we said. You got Glenn Robinson III in it. Only 4 guys in it this year. And DeAndre Jordan.
No, the big man is not going to win.
The big man, DeAndre Jordan. Aaron Gordon's got to be the heavy favorite, right?
Yeah, Aaron Gordon will be the heavy favorite in that one. That'll be coming up soon in a couple weeks, so it'll be turned from, you know, the greatness that is the NFL. The three-point contest, Klay Thompson is the reigning champion, if I'm not mistaken. Kemba Walker, Kyrie Irving, Kyle Lowry, Wes Matthews, Swaggy P, Nick Young, Eric Gordon, and C.J. McCollum. I think Klay Thompson is the favorite in that one.
Yesterday in the NBA, Toronto beat Brooklyn 103-95. Despite no DeMar DeRozan, again, Kyle Lowry had triple-double, 15-11-11. Jonas Valanciunas had 22-5. He shot one on the ground. Did you see this, Tony? He shot one from his knees last night, or yesterday afternoon, rather. And he could have just banged it in, no problem, but he tried to be cute with it, and he missed it. That was a very, it was a very funny shot, but he should have made it. It was embarrassing. Jamari Carroll at 15-5. Norman Powell, 10-6. Off the bench, Terrence Ross on his birthday put up 17. Well, Fred Van Fleet, just in case anything happens to Kyle Lowry, who was sick and is questionable yesterday, Fred Van Fleet has passed Corey Joseph as a backup point guard. Corey Joseph is a DNP coach's decision yesterday, while Fred Van Fleet saw 20 minutes.
And by the way, the Raptors outscored the Nets 58-38 in the paint in that game.
That is bad.
Yeah.
That is bad. In the paint, it was patrolled by Brooke Lopez, who had 20-7. Bojan had 13-3, 3-8 from behind the arc. Rondé Hollis-Jefferson, 6-6. Off the bench, Sean Kilpatrick had 18-5, while Trevor Booker had 15-10. Boston defeated LA yesterday, 107-102. Celtics had all five starters in double digits, including Isaiah Thomas, who had 28-8, while Al Horford telling 13-15 yesterday with 6 assists.
Yeah, Al Horford, definitely healthy. He got off to a poor start for the Celtics. They had the concussion situation, too. And he has really put together. The one thing that people don't realize, Al Horford at the center position averages 5 assists per game. And that's a big number that he, when you pick a center, like when we talk the fantasy baseball and we talk about like Paul Goldschmidt, you pick him and JT Realmuto because they catch at first base so you don't get stolen bases. Mm-hmm. Well, you get the same thing with Al Horford in basketball. You get assists from the center position. It ends up being a big positive having this guy on your team.
Absolutely. Jay Crowder, 11-6 yesterday. Amir Johnson, 13-6. Tony, did you play DFS yesterday?
Yes, I did.
Did you win?
I did not win yesterday.
Neither did I. I played as well.
Very close. It was very close. You know, I keyed on this game a lot out of the games yesterday.
Right.
And the guy that really, really hurt me in this contest was on the Clippers side.
Same.
I took out of my lineup Jordan Crawford, who I had in there.
Jamal Crawford,
and
yeah.
He put up, Jamal Crawford, 23 points of 3 steals in that one, which is huge, and 5 assists there. And I used J.J. Redick, who was terrible.
So I was trying to upgrade my point guard position, and I got crushed because my point guard was Austin Rivers here. Austin Rivers had 5 points and 5 assists in 34 minutes. 0-4 from behind the arc, 1-8 from the field. Blake Griffin, the only starter in double digits, he had 23-8, as Tony just mentioned. Jamal Crawford also had 23. Ray Felton with 16-5. Mo Spates, your boy, Corey.
That's my guy, Mo Buckets.
The Celtics attempted 52 3-pointers. It's the third most total in NBA history.
The first got to be like Golden State, right?
Probably so.
Yeah, I think so.
Celtics are fourth in the league in attempts, 3-point attempts right now.
Right.
And I really think long term that you can't win like that.
Unless you're Golden State.
Jump shooting.
Unless you're Golden State.
Yeah, well, yeah, if you have those three guys, you can win no matter what.
Yeah. OKC defeated Portland yesterday 105-99. The Thunder get a big win, led by, who else? Russell Westbrook. 42-8.
And Oladipo. Oladipo.
I'm getting there. Oladipo, 24-13. Andre Robertson at 14-11. Nobody else did anything else. So Steven Adams at 7 points, 13 rebounds.
I'm looking at the box score right here. I'm looking at field goal attempts.
Sure.
34. Yeah.
I'm surprised his elbow don't hurt shooting the ball that much.
I didn't play Westbrook, and I had Oladipo in one of my lineups too, and I took him out. And I played Steven Adams from this game. He did okay, but he needed a little more points there. The 13 rebounds were nice. He didn't have any block shots.
No.
So that was terrible as well. The one guy who had been playing well in his last two games is bombed. It's Sabonis.
Oh, my God.
To play. He was 0 for 6. He had 2.6 rebounds. His last game was a bomb. But before that, he looked like he was coming along.
Yeah.
And now he's regressed.
Oh, my God.
Robinson looked good yesterday.
Yes, he did. And I thought Sabonis was going to come on. Like, I picked him up in a league, and I thought, all right, like, he'd get some run without Enes Kanter. And he got hot, as you said, in his last couple of games. It's just been so bad. Then he finished with negative DFS points the other night.
Oh, he might have. It was one of those nights. If you had him in your lineup, you could go to bed early.
Between Sabonis and Adams, 17 and of 20 shots were missed.
That's a good stat. 29-7 for Damian Lillard, 19-8 for CJ McCollum, 13 points for Mason Plumlee, while just 10 points for Alan Crabb. So I also had Evan Turner in my lineup, and that was
me too. That was another kick in the butt. Like, he's one of the guys I put in, taking one of those guys out there. It's just one of those days, things happen. Crazy there. This lineup, though, the one guy that's playing well that I can't play because there's just no consistency to his game,
right,
is Aminu. Now, he's coming off the bench. He's still playing the same amount of minutes, sometimes even more. He played 32 minutes yesterday. But something just doesn't seem right. He was 1-for-8 in this game yesterday. He had 7 points, 7 rebounds, and 2 steals. Not going to be enough. And Von Lehr is a guy that a lot of people are looking at, but he only played 15 minutes.
Yeah.
Miles Leonard played in this game, 19 minutes. So these minutes are being divided up in the front court. That the Plumlee, to me, is the only option for you for Portland in the front court.
I agree. I played Al-Farouq Aminu yesterday as well. That didn't go well, like you mentioned. And Noah Vonleh, not somebody that you can play right now. We'll take a break. When we come back, we'll wrap up the program because we got a whole lot of basketball games tonight. Tony will give us his favorite picks. We'll wrap up the show and send you into the brand new Old School Fantasy Hour, which comes up next. Stick around. This is the Fantasy Sports Radio Network's Roto Experts in the Morning. We finish up right after this. Final few minutes of the program of Old School Fantasy coming up next with Scott Engel, George Kurtz, and the debut on Old School Fantasy of Corey the Fantasy Executive Parson. This at 10 a.m. Brand new time, same fantastic program. So, you checking out the daily, trying to make a lineup for tonight. Where do you begin, Tony?
I already have a lineup done now. It's the night. Right. I'm going to make you... people are going to throw up, I think, a little bit tonight because the play you have to start out with is Anthony Davis against the Phoenix Suns. $10,300 on DraftKings. Now, he's a little more expensive on FanDuel,
right,
so you can make the case that you can get out of money-wise. But the Phoenix Suns, obviously one of the worst teams defensively in basketball. You're looking at the center position, and this is a guy that tonight can put up 60 points against this Phoenix Suns. They don't cover big men well. And the only other guy that I look tonight with an equal tasty matchup is Andre Drummond at 8,300 and 8,500 tonight there. Drummond or Anthony Davis to me at the center position.
There you go. You have those are the big-time players. Now let's go from the top down here. Let's go to the point guard position. Tony, where are you beginning there?
The point guard position, I'm going to save a little money and a guy that's returning for the New York Knicks tonight, Derrick Rose, taking on the L.A. Lakers at $5,700 on DraftKings. The Lakers, the second worst at defending the point guard position. We saw Rose come back from an injury earlier and put up a big number already once this season. I expect the same tonight.
I like Derrick Rose, too. I also like the other point guard I match up. I like D'Angelo Russell as well. I think he's fairly priced. I think it's a good spot for him. Against a little hobbled here, Derrick Rose. I like both point guards, New York and L.A.
I got one more point guard, Yogi Ferrell, whose price has risen.
Yeah.
He's just put up 3 good games in a row. It's going to continue tonight against Denver, who can't defend either backcourts. I like him and Curry both tonight in this matchup. Yogi Ferrell's a guy you can use.
Is he on his third 10-day contract now? Or
There is no third day 10-day contract. You can only send 2 10-day contracts. He actually has now signed a 2-year deal with Dallas.
Nice.
To stay. Good job for the man from Indiana, Yogi Ferrell, who has not seen less than 36 minutes since signing with Dallas and has not had less than 24 FanDuel points. So he's a guy that you probably should put in your lineup no matter what.
If Kyrie goes tonight, we know he's a... probably questionable with the quad. Do you think he's a good play versus Washington?
I like some other ones better. Like, I like Derrick Rose better. I like D'Angelo Russell better. I like Yogi Ferrell better. I think the problem with Yogi Ferrell, though, is Darren Williams. Like, is Darren Williams going to play tonight?
Yeah, he's a game time decision for tonight, as is Jimmy Butler.
Okay, so. Yes.
JB ruined some.
Yes.
The other night.
Yeah, Jimmy Butler screwed a lot of people
Dunn's
over.
Also questionable for tonight.
Yeah.
Can we use Russell Westbrook back to back here?
If you want to pay 12-7 on DraftKings,
I'll never tell you not to. But that Kyrie Irving thing, you're better off going the other way. It's going to cost you more money. John Wall. Kyrie's not a good defender. He's actually the fourth worst at covering point guards in the NBA. And then he's playing with an injury. I mean, Wall's on a three-game, 50-point fantasy tear.
Yeah, Wall is crushing it for sure. You guys go to the shooting guard, another spot that I probably will go cheap tonight. You can take a look. Once again, it's Seth Curry for me against Denver, 6,000 on FanDuel. And once again, you look at Toronto, right? If there is no DeMar DeRozan tonight, Norman Powell, once again, is, you know, you could put him right back in there.
What about Lou Williams, 5,900 on DraftKings?
Yeah, you could play him. The Knicks are the worst in the league at covering the two guard. But I'm going to use Shabazz Muhammad. I'm going to take advantage of the cheap price while it's still out there. It's not a great matchup.
4,300.
Slow down pace. Yeah. Miami plays a slow pace. And they're very good defensively, but that price is just too low. So
what do you think?
If I get 24 points, I'll be all set.
What do you think of Nick Young at 4,400?
I never play him.
No, you can't.
Never play Swaggy P.
You can't play Swaggy.
Yeah, he's just a shooter, so he doesn't get any rebounds, he doesn't get any assists, doesn't get any steals.
Hey, so Shabazz Muhammad, for those that are playing on FanDuel, he's listed as a small forward. All on FanDuel. Oh. So you can put him in there against Miami. As Tone just said, though, not a great matchup by any means. If you want the guy starting for Zach LaVine, that is Brandon Rush. He saw 24 minutes in his first game as a starter. Just didn't do anything. That's the problem.
Yeah, right. Also, Devin Booker.
And he's the same thing. He's a jump shooter.
Right.
Devin Booker, option as shooting guard tonight, too.
Yeah, certainly. Small forward, Tone. Who are you looking at?
The small forward position tonight, you can like Otto Porter in that game against the Cavaliers. He comes into play, but the best guy on the table is Paul George. He's a lot better on DraftKings at 7,800. He's 8,800 on FanDuel, but he's the best play at the small forward position tonight. If you want to save a little money, there's a guy you like, Greg. He's only 3,600 on DraftKings, but he's 4,400 on FanDuel. Go back to Solomon Hill.
My man! Solomon Hill, love it!
They have the highest team total. They have 113 total. He's playing 30 minutes a game.
Can you go back to Wilson Chandler tonight without Danilo Gallinari?
You can, but they're the third best in the league at covering that position. I would not.
Okay, there you go. And the power
Solomon Hill has, in his last four games, has at least 16 DraftKings points in each three of the last four.
You're going to need him to be a little bit better than that.
One hoop better. You can get that against a poor defense.
Okay, perfect. The power forward position here, Tony. You know, you mentioned Anthony Davis is your favorite play on the board on DraftKings at that price. Who else do you like?
At power forward, you got to like Julius Randle tonight. If he's back and healthy, I expect him against the Knicks at 5,700 and 5,900. That's a huge bargain in that one. If you wanted to save a little cash, I like Marquese Chris tonight, and that's a guy that I never use in that matchup. They have a team total of 108. He goes into play, and I like Kristaps Porzingis. I'm just worried. He hasn't put up a big game since coming back from the injury. He had one 30-point game since he's been back, but it's 6,700. That price is inviting. It's one of the poorest defenses in all the NBA.
There you go. And then lastly, at the center position, I know Tony already mentioned Andre Drummond, but is there anybody else you like?
No, just Drummond and Davis for me. Those two guys, if you wanted to go really, really cheap and you want to throw someone at the center position, tonight, Free Willy, baby. Free Willy tonight. He'll get the start against the Lakers. I'll tell you what, I have him in my lineup at utility position.
There you go, Willie Hernan Gomez, right, without Joakim Noah, who, by the way, I saw at dinner on Friday night.
Oh, really?
The Carmen Gomez brothers on the same court tonight.
Are they?
Yeah.
Hernan Gomez was for Denver. The other one was for Denver, doesn't he?
Guillermo Hernan Gomez?
That's Willie.
That's Will.
That's Will, okay. Man. One plays for Denver, one plays for New York. But, you know, they'll play. I'm sure they played. I think they played already. There you go. There you go. Fun show today here, Roto Experts in the morning. Super Bowl recap for more Super Bowl stuff. It's the old school fantasy hour coming up next. Corey Parsons, Scott Angle will stick around. George Kurtz will join them. But for Scott Angle and Corey Parsons, Tony Zuccotto too, I'm Greg Sussman. Have a wonderful rest of your Monday, and we will see you right back here at 7 a.m. tomorrow. Goodbye, everybody.